We had a malfunction last week. I don't know what keeps going on here, but...
I think it's operator error.
Operator error, yes, definitely. John 14, verses 16 to 18. Jesus speaking, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I love that scripture. We were talking about it this morning at adult Bible study. He will never leave us or forsake us.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Amen. Praise be to God. Are those words of eternal life and comfort and graciousness and mercy or what? The second verse is John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. You see the Trinity, the whole Trinity there. It's all one big Godhead. Praise be to God. And finally, John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you. He proceeds from the Father, but he also proceeds from the Son. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for those words in red, especially from Christ Jesus, that the world is trying to expunge from your word, this whole Jesus project, Lord, that is of the devil, that would try to say that Jesus never said these things, and this is not the truth, and the higher, higher criticism school of thought, Lord, that is trying to take the power out of your word. We thank you for that power, Lord. Father, we just drink it in. We drink in that power. Hallelujah. As we drink in your word, and I pray, Father God, that you'll comfort us today, Lord, by your word, by your spirit, and help us to go forth, Father, in that power that you imparted to the apostles in that upper room, Lord God. Hallelujah, that Acts 1:8 power, Lord God, of the Holy Spirit that can only come from you. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name, and all God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Please be seated. I've got my sanctuary voice going here, so I don't have to wear that dopey microphone. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Imagine the apostles having spent 3.5 years with Jesus, seeing his miracles, hearing his inspired teachings, knowing that he was going to depart. After 3.5 years, they had him bodily, like you and I have never experienced Jesus. I believe he came into my bedroom one night, but he shut my eyes so I couldn't see it. But I could sense his presence, and I could sense something that I cherish, because he just surrounded me with what I can only describe, as I have before, as liquid love. Incredible experience I've ever had in my life, short of having been born again. Praise be to God. But Jesus promises to send another just like himself. The Comforter. The Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. Who is one with the Father and the Son. A helper. An advocate. One who comes along beside to help in our trials and in our needs and in our desire for wisdom in certain circumstances. Ever cried out to the Lord, Lord, I don't know what to do here. And then the advocate, the Comforter, comes up beside you and tells you exactly what to do. praise be to God. Do you know how many times I've gone to bed at night anxious, trying to get peace so I can fall asleep and to wake up in the morning and God has solved the entire problem? Amen. Overnight. So I wake up and it's a whole different scenario. Hallelujah. The whole world has changed. Everything that I thought was a problem is no longer a problem. That's from the Comforter. Yes. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate. I will not leave you comfortless. Is that loving kindness or what? Is that chesed? Is that mercy? The mercy of God?
Amen.
I will not leave you comfortless. He was telling them, I know you can't fully grasp this now. You don't understand. But you will understand when the Advocate, when the Comforter comes upon you. In the person of the Holy Spirit. Praise be to God. The Father will send you the Spirit of Truth. What more could you ask for? I mean, the truth is the truth, right?
Right.
There's no shading it. There's no areas of gray. It's either true or it's not true. And he says, I will impart the truth to you. And you'll know. And he will abide with you forever.
Amen.
Do you know what that means? That means where he goes, I go.
Right.
And where I go, he goes. No matter what. When he goes, when he takes his spirit out of this world in the rapture, I'm going to be there. Because he'll never leave me. I'm with you forever and ever and ever. Praise be to God. That word abide means to remain with, to dwell with, to persevere with, to endure, to last. The Spirit of Truth is a keeper. Amen?
Amen.
Why would I want to diss him in any way, shape, or form? Why would I want to grieve him? Why would I want to turn against his perfect wisdom and guidance in my life? Turn to Psalm 69. Praise be to God. Psalm 69. Hallelujah. It's a psalm of David, but it's also messianic in nature. In fact, I'll take a leap here. And again, you don't have to agree with me, and I'm not going to break fellowship with you if you don't. But I believe that this is a psalm that Jesus very well have prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was about to be betrayed by Judas. It has all those elements of exactly what happened. Verses 8 and 9 are quoted in the New Testament and applied to Jesus. And of course, the verse 4, as you know, is one of my favorites. Then I restored that which I took not away. I suffered on the cross for you. And I did it so I could restore things to you that I didn't take away in the first place. That you forfeited by foolishness, by sin, by weakness, by whatever human nature. I came to restore even to you something you never had. Eternal life. You never possessed it. But I came to restore it to you anyway. That's something that only God can do. Praise be to God. He would become sin for us who knew no sin, that we might become what? The righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. The word is so precise. Look at verse 8. I love things like this when I come across them. Psalm 69, verse 8. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. He couldn't say, my father's children, because he didn't have an earthly father. His father was the Holy Spirit of God. So he said, my mother's children. I love the preciseness of the word of God.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Note also in verse 21. It was fulfilled at Calvary. They gave me also gall for my meat, and in my thirst they gave me vinegar to drink. The whole psalm, if you read it, has to do with the sufferings of Jesus. Praise be to God. On our behalf. But the scripture I want to focus on especially is verse 20. Reproach hath broken my heart, and I am full of heaviness, and I looked for some to take pity, but there was none, and for comforters, but I found none. He is our comforter. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I was left comfortless, but I'm not going to leave you in the same state because of my love. Jesus had no one to comfort him, no one to console him, no one to have compassion on him except for the women, including his mother, who stood at the foot of the cross and had to watch him suffer the way he did, agonizing on that cross. But it was by that very suffering that you and I can enter heaven. Praise be to God. Look at Isaiah 53. If you want to turn there, if not, I'll just read it. I have it typed out. Isaiah 53, verse 11. It says, He, God the Father, it's speaking of there, shall see of the travail of his soul, Jesus' soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You know what it means to be justified? It means to be declared not guilty before the God of this universe. Because of what Jesus did, he justified me. I am not guilty in the eyes of God. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that everything that Jesus either suffered or was denied paved the way for us to receive blessing? Amen. I'm going to quote an author here from a book called Repossessing the Land by some guy named Richard Hewitt, having to do with identification, how Jesus identified with us and how he fulfilled what I just said. Lest I plagiarize, I will give, you know, notice of the author. Try to grasp the glorious concept of identification from the starting point of the scripture quoted at the beginning of this chapter. I don't remember which one it was. Jesus became sin that we might become righteous. Let's see what he did for us. He died that we might live. John 3:16. In his being tortured, he was striped that we might be healed. Matthew 8:17. He cried, it is finished, that it might be the beginning of new life for us. He hid his glory that he might bring many sons and daughters to glory. Hebrews 2:10. He wept that we might rejoice. He was broken that we might be made every whit whole. He took the Father's wrath against sin upon himself that we not have to experience it. On the cross, he thirsted that whosoever believeth in him shall never thirst.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
And he wore a crown of thorns, symbolic of the curse on God's creation, pronounced in Genesis for man's rebellion, and accordingly we're told that Jesus became a curse for us, redeeming us from that very curse. Praise be to God. Jesus became weak that we might be made strong. He became poor that we through his poverty might be made rich. And the list could go on and on. Praise be to God. I know where you can get a copy of that book if you're interested. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. By his stripes we are healed. By his bearing our sins, we're declared not guilty before God the Father. By his lack of comfort, we have been given a comforter who will abide with us forever. Praise be to God. To me, that's the greatest promise in the Bible. I will send you the Spirit of Truth, who is the third member of the Trinity of God, and he will be with you forever. You know, I've said it many times, but I believe the only way that a believer can lose their salvation is if they totally reject Jesus and everything he did and everything he is. I knew someone like that. I've told you. Guy became a Muslim. He was a born-again Christian. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. And he totally renounced Christ. I used to have debates with him every night. I was working in a homeless shelter in Monticello. And he said, no, it was all a lie. And I've come to just... That guy apostatized to the place where I believe that he is lost. But that's the only way. You know? We can falter. We can stumble. We can have moments of weakness. We can say and do things that we regret later. But do you think God is going to withdraw his salvation from us? Withdraw his Spirit from us? You know, I've said it before. We don't sing that song anymore in this church from Psalm 51. That, Lord, remove not your Holy Spirit from me. Because he won't. It says in the New Covenant, I will not. He will abide with you forever. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. I've removed that. I should remove the transparency from there too. That we never sing it by mistake. Praise be to God. Remember that Jesus is the only mediator between man and God. And that God was in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:19, reconciling the world unto himself and imputing their trespasses unto them. Jesus not only reconciled us back to God, but he identified with us in our hurting, fallen humanity. He was tempted in every point, as you and I are, yet without sin. Praise be to God. And I'll take this to the judgment seat of Christ, but I believe that he could not have known us to the depth that he knows us if he had never become a man and walked the same trails that you and I walk, with the same temptations and all of the stuff coming at us constantly. Amen. How could he know that? Oh, I know. God is omniscient. You know, so I go back and forth with it. He's all-knowing, but I believe that he came to a better knowledge, having become a man and having walked among us. And again, you can disagree with me on that, and I won't break fellowship with you if you do. Praise be to God. You know, it's not only because of the new birth, but because the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, dwells within us. That what Jesus did almost 2,000 years ago still avails today. Yes. I have the Holy Ghost within me. I assume each of you has the Holy Ghost within you as well. It says in Romans 8:9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You have to have the Spirit of Christ, or you don't belong to God. You don't belong to Jesus. I've got his Spirit in me. I've got the life of God in me. We haven't sung that song in a long time. I've got the life of God in me. I've got the life of God in me. I've got his nature, his and his ability, or something like that. I've got the life of God in me. Praise be to God. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. I have a comforter. You know, I have a comforter on my bed. We've got a number of them. But there's a much better comforter, isn't there?
Amen.
Yes.
In the cold weathers of this world. I can wrap myself in that comforter who is the Holy Spirit of God. And we can rely on Him today and forever. A simple message with a simple truth: God is love. And because of His love, He doesn't leave us comfortless, but gives us His presence in a very special way. You know, we can't walk with Jesus as the apostles did. Not yet. We'll do it in an even better fashion than they did it, because it's going to be in heaven. Amen. Praise be to God. But we can walk with the Holy Spirit and know every moment that we are in the presence of Almighty God. John 14, 18b, I will not leave you comfortless, and I love this, I will come to you. Jesus speaking. I'm not just going to send you this Holy Spirit who is going to indwell you. I am coming personally to you through that Spirit. Praise be to God. I will come to you. I will come to you. A promise not only to Peter, James, John, and the rest of them, but unto us. I will come to you.
Yes, thank you.
Has Jesus come to you?
Amen.
I've experienced Him in the evening dews and damps and in many other places.
That's right.
Praise be to God, for He's the ultimate comforter. Jesus, our Lord, I will come to you. I'm not just going to send you some power that, you know, that people like Benny Hinn can, you know, think that they can blow on people and knock them over and everything. No! I'm going to come to you. I, Jesus, the Son of God. Hallelujah. And you will know when I come to you. You'll know me. You know, Jesus came to me in a very special night. Very special place that one night. I'd just gotten saved. I know I've shared everything, but you've heard me, you know, for how many years now? I can share, I can repeat it, right? Didn't Paul repeat his testimony over and over again? Praise be to God. But I had just read that Satan would come and steal the word out of your heart. Jesus had said that. I just read that. I'd gotten home from a long night at the Record, and I was reading the Bible. And what happened? He came to steal the word out of my heart. I went to bed, I laid down, and all of a sudden, my hair went up out of absolute fear. The room, my bedroom, was filled with the most evil thing you can imagine. And I was scared to death. And the only thing I could do, I couldn't even open my mouth to speak. But I could think, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And guess what? Jesus came to me. Dispelled that power of darkness. And embraced me in His love. Praise be to God. It's something I will never, ever forget. And I'm looking forward to another embrace.
Amen.
In the heavenly kingdom. Praise be to God. He says, I will come to you. I'm not just going to send a power that will vanquish that. I'm going to come to you personally. Praise be to God. And He did. He comes to us in those dark nights of the soul. He comes to us when things are seemingly hopeless.
Yes.
In our lives, and in the midnight hour, and in times of despair, but He's always on time, isn't He?
Amen.
He's always on time. Praise be to God. Thank God He comes in times of rejoicing as well. I just want to quote Psalm 30, verse 5b, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And you know what that word joy means? It means a shout of joy. It means a shout of joy. Weeping may endure for a night, but a shout of joy will come in the morning. Praise be to God. There's always a new morning with God, isn't there? With Jesus. Hallelujah. He'll never leave us comfortless. And when we sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, it's the presence of Jesus himself. I will come unto you. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. I'm going to leave it at that. Praise be to God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we rejoice in your holy name. We rejoice in the great and precious promises that you have given us in Christ Jesus. Lord, we could enumerate them. There's thousands of them in your holy word. But Father, the best is that you'll never, ever leave us or forsake us. Praise be to God. No matter what comes upon this earth, and I thank you and praise you for your words that you gave earlier here this morning. I've got to find out a way to get them on tape. You know, these are the words of God. We shouldn't be just letting them fall to the ground. But Father, I just thank you and praise you that you don't leave us comfortless. You sent us the Comforter, and he's not only your Holy Spirit, but he is your Son as well. I will come to you. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.